into it here.
The Triple M Footy.
Listen to the fans.
Fan Podcast.
That's right. Listen to the fans. It's the Triple M Footy Fan Podcast back here again. We've had another round of footy, slightly truncated by a certain Essendon running back getting COVID, but that's okay. The other games happened. That game will eventually happen. And we're here to talk you through all of it. My name is Rudy Etzel. I'm joined by George Porter on the buttons.
Hello, Rudes. Hello, Etho.
And Ethan Meldrum, of course.
How are you, Rudes? You in particular. Good. You after Saturday night.
Oh, mate, you were there. You saw it. It wasn't the best night.
Carlton are the team of two halves at the moment. They either start really well like they did against Geelong, or they finish really well like they did against Melbourne and Richmond. If they can get a game together, maybe they'd actually be all right.
Everyone spoke about their first quarter woes, and then they basically played the game like it was Don Bradman reversing the batting order in 1937. They just put everything into the first three quarters and stopped playing in the last.
Yeah.
So you guys are in the office. I'm here in the People's Republic of Moreland because we're one of the coronavirus hotspots. I'm not allowed in the office until we get the all clear from Dan Andrews. But let's kick off with our legend of the week. I'll go first. And is from that Geelong Carlton game, and it's Eddie Betts.
Eddie Betts.
He was so good the other night on Saturday.
Yeah,
kicked the first goal in a minute. He had that little dance routine with Mark Blixarves and set up Paddy Cripps for one. And then when the game was on the line in the last 30 seconds, he took down Jack Henry in a great tackle and pretty much won Carlton the game.
Won the ball back as well when the ball went inside their forward 50 as well. Because there was still probably time up until when he marked it for Geelong to get a couple of kicks and just bomb it down the middle. And I was thinking, all I could think of was Zach Tui versus Melbourne last year or the year before, I think, after the siren.
Yeah, great. I'd suppress that one. Thank you.
I was sort of thinking the same thing. At one stage, it kind of looked like it was a matter of how many points Geelong were going to win by in that fourth quarter.
Yeah, they're on a roll.
There was six goals up at three-quarter time, Carlton, but Geelong were just pegging them back. And they just kept making mistakes, really. It was the Grian Myers playing on when there was a set shot that would have been taken. But the real killer was Gary Ablett missing that set shot from 15 metres out. I've never seen him miss that ever before. And it was that point when you go, oh, well, they've done well, but they're done here.
Their last quarter, Geelong, was five goals four to a point.
Ooh, it was one-way traffic.
They were flying. They were flying home with the wettest of sails. They were flying home at the speed of that train that constantly honks its horn.
I reckon the train conductors know that they can be heard now.
That's right.
This is their time to shine.
Kind of sounds like a siren for a second as well.
Yeah, it does.
Like you're like, well, hang on,
Need further investigation perhaps for next week. I think that's happened before. I think that's happened before.
I wouldn't be shocked. Yeah. Ethan, who is your legend of the week?
We touched on this in the opener, and he's been in the news a little bit. It's Connor McKenna.
Hang on a minute.
He's your legend.
He's my legend of the week.
The bloke who's single-handedly stopping the AFL, potentially.
Yeah, he's single-handedly brought the competition to disrepute by breaking the rules. But by breaking the rules, by going out of his way to break the rules, he saved Melbourne from an almost certain loss. So full credit to him. I hope he's doing okay, first and foremost, because he has got coronavirus. It does, you know, it has caused a lot of deaths. Yeah.
So,
on him. He's saved Melbourne single-handedly. Praise to him.
So you've chosen Connor McKenna.
Melbourne legend.
Melbourne legend.
You've chosen him because Melbourne didn't have to lose.
Honorary cheese platter at the MCC for Connor McKenna whenever he wants it.
Yeah, right, okay.
All right, and then George Porter, please tell me your legend for round three.
My legend is, I'm going to not make it Collingwood related, but I watched the Crows Gold Coast game. Sorry, the last three quarters. I listened to the first quarter. And
on Triple M Footy, of course. Ably called by
Triple M Footy.
On Sunday.
It was. And I was like, good on them that they had probably their best win that I've seen and probably their best win in over 2 years. But you just got to feel happy for Stewie Jew. And they haven't won a game for a year, and they would have been getting belted and belted. They've had two really average years, and then to come out and have two wins in a row, two dominant wins in a row, got to feel happy for him. And, you know, he'd be walking out onto Metricon, and he'd be chuffed with what he saw on the weekend. So,
chuffed is such a Stewart Jew word as well.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm just bloody chuffed.
If you're a
mate.
Portly fella, do you consider yourself to be chuffed rather than happy?
A 130 kilo, 36, 37, however old he is, I don't actually know. Can only be chuffed.
You're either chuffed.
You can't be happy, you're stoked or thrilled. He's chuffed.
Yeah.
I was going to say, you're either chuffed or you're stoked in this game, and he's a chuffed operator.
He's my legend because you know, we were wondering if they could back it up. They've never beaten the Crows. And they absolutely belted them. So
hey, did they pants them? I don't reckon it's even their best win of this season, to be honest. I think the West Coast win is still better than it. But I take your point.
Yeah.
I take your point, George. Now, a question I wanted to bring to the table for you blokes is what has the better meme potential from this weekend? Is it Geelong losing a game at GMHBA Stadium to the team that finished bottom last year?
The brand new stadium.
Yeah. Or is it Richmond back in ninth? What's the better meme potential?
I don't think Richmond are going to be in ninth for all that long.
That's kind of why we've got to hold on to it. You've got to hold on to the lulls from it because it's so fleeting.
Geelong may lose at home again. So
yeah, that's right. I saw some people last night saying, oh, the Richmond thing's played out. They've won two flags in that time. I was like, I reckon that kind of makes it funnier.
Yeah.
Like they can just never escape this ninth.
But just the whole narrative of wanting your finals down there and every home game down there, and you finally get it, and you lose to Carlton.
Yeah.
Oh. lucky there were no fans there.
Would have burnt after the stomping joint Hawthorn the week before. Well, I tell you what, the fans would have been losing their minds in that last quarter.
They would have.
But I just think it's impressive that Clarko managed to mastermind a win against Geelong after losing to them by 10 goals the week before. And not even playing him this week.
Yeah.
He's done really well there.
He's getting in their head, you reckon?
Yeah. Well, all the I went on Twitter. I was producing the game for Triple M Footy, but I went on Twitter at halftime, and all of the conversation was Clarko's right. Clarko's a genius. It's like
Geelong. Oh, with his Geelong aren't that good comment.
His Geelong aren't that good comment on Friday.
Clarko's such a genius. He's taking two teams to a win in one weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If there was ever a man who could do it, it would be.
He's personally pulled off the two biggest upsets of the round.
Yeah. He's transcended coaching, Alistair Clarkson.
He knew exactly multiple teams at once.
Yeah.
He knew exactly what he was doing with that comment. He psyched him out. It was vintage Clarko. Absolutely vintage Clarko. Probably a less genius move, I thought, this weekend was GWS just deciding to try and have a boxing bout rather than some kind of like wrestling cage match rather than play footy.
They were hard. Everywhere except where required and where the 4 points was actually decided. It was real weird. Like Nick Haynes going for the coin toss and all that, like, you know, I know Cogs was trying to sell it as, you know, the skipper of GWS, obviously, just trying to sell it as, you know, trying to bring people into the coin toss and not making it about him. But like, you know, he just stared down Bontempelli and all that. Like, it's pretty obvious what they were trying to do, and it really doesn't pay off when you don't deliver on the field as well.
Yeah. It was very strange. Like they just went, punching on with them worked last time. But this time around, they just forgot to play at the same time and they kicked one goal to three-quarter time and the Dogs were sort of just fine with it.
Like, against the Dog side, they got demoralized the week before and coming off a five-day break and all that.
Yeah. It was a strange performance. And I think I did an image for the Triple M Footy socials saying they've now put up three of their six lowest scores in their history in the last 10 games, GWS. Like,
guess who they've got this week?
Collingwood.
Collingwood, who haven't conceded more than 40 points in a game yet this year.
Collingwood, who lost a prelim to them last
year. Oh, yeah.
Come on, George.
If
there's any team that you want to probably not play now after you've, you know, stunk it up for 2 weeks, it's probably Collingwood.
There's circumstances at play, obviously. Like we've got the 20% shorter games, and but still, it's worrying that they just can't seem to put a score together. Really,
I tell you what, we're going to get real sick of these. You know, these stats to pop up like they just get thrown in your face about lowest score ever and all that. Like with 16-minute quarters, like.
Yeah, but when it's the Crows, it's funny. I like it when it's
the Crows. when it's, you know, Betts, McGovern, Keith, and whoever the other bloke was outscoring Adelaide and around, that's still funny.
Charlie Cameron, I think it was.
Charlie Cameron, it was. So they kicked six goals for 36 points between them, and Adelaide managed 4 goals, 5-29 against Gold Coast, a team they'd never lost to before.
I love the Crows having just the worst time of it at the moment. So
Yeah. For context, George is from South.
I'm in Adelaide. I lived in Adelaide for about 7 or 8 years, and I was the only Collingwood fan over there. Everyone else went for the Crows. And
you made it out the other side.
Well, I've made it out the other side. A relatively successful era for the Crows without doing too much. They've never bottomed out, as we know. But, you know, now that this is all happening, it's all my mates have shut up. It's glorious. I think, personally, they were playing that badly. Maybe time to start the rumours. Let's relocate the Crows to Tassie. Get them down there. Get them out of Adelaide. Send them to Tassie. There's always a team that we need to send to Tassie. I think this week it should be the Crows.
Wish to officially distance myself from these comments.
let's relocate Adelaide to Gold Coast.
Yeah.
Make them explicitly the second team in the Sunshine.
There's something very amiss up there, though, isn't there? Over there, I should say. Adelaide, yeah. They're just really in really, really awful nick. Well,
not the only team on the hub, though, Rudes.
Well, that's a good call, George. Another team that's struggling with hashtag hub life is West Coast. They've lost now to both Queensland teams week on week. They've made it pretty clear that they're not even considering another week on up on the Gold Coast. I think a bunch of them have quite young children, and they just want to go home. And it's sort of showing in the way they're playing at the moment. It's when it gets a bit hard, they're not that interested, and they can't really afford to keep dropping these games. It's in a 17-round season.
Well, no, they got Port, Adelaide, and Richmond next 2 weeks.
They've got a very good record against Port.
They do. Those games are actually often pretty
they
good.
They are. Yeah.
We've had McGavin on the siren, Chewy on the siren in extra time. Like, there's been some really good clashes last year as well. When the wet at Optus was good.
If they do go home though, we probably don't want to get too far into the scheduling system, but if they do go home, it does kind of wreck it for a couple of weeks at least. So
furiously trying to work with Mark McGowan on the WA Premier.
What, you personally?
No, they, I said, to try and convince them not to make the teams quarantine. Yeah. I think they said that they can quarantine. I think the ideal scenario is they quarantine, but they're allowed to sort of like play during that quarantine. I think that's kind of
They announced yesterday they want to have 30,000 people in the stadium. Well, that's all well and good, but you got no teams to play against.
They're talking about full stadiums by July 18, which of course means that the push is on to move the grand final to Optus Stadium. Can you see that happening? Something tells me that you can get. I reckon you could just about write your own ticket. I just can't see it happening. The granny will be anywhere but the MCG this year, fans or not, to be honest.
I guess it does mean if they do go home. Have we had a derby yet?
No, not yet.
So I guess you could get one game out of the way with a derby.
Yeah, that's true.
With a lot of people. But if they're going to get 60,000 people in a couple of months. Anyway,
it's a bit messy. Mm.
That's all for thought for the next. That's for other people to worry about.
That's exactly right, George. Now, I worked on. I helped cover the Sydney North Melbourne game the other day for our Triple M's, the digital network. And I noticed Brian Taylor has come up with a new, our man Brian Taylor, BT, Bristle, he's come up with a new nickname for Sydney youngster James Rowbottom. George, you've got the audio?
I do.
No fumbles.
No fumbles.
All that on the Reams scoreboard has paddle ass Rowbottom.
Rowbottom, clever snap. Just knew exactly where the goals were.
Spot on. Oh, paddle bum.
Paddle
getting
bum.
It done out there.
Well done.
Sinclair, little handball comes back to McLean.
Pugsy.
Off Pugsy's chest.
Come
on,
Pugs.
Rowbottom gave it to Higgins. Didn't take possession. Got muscled out of the way by paddle bum.
Paddle bum?
Paddle bum.
Well, welcome to the world, new cult figure, James Paddle Bum Rowbottom.
I had to think about it. I was like, why paddle? Oh, Rowbottom.
It took me a lot longer than that.
So we can add him to the list of your microphone heads and your possum eyes and your tip rats and your push ups.
I appreciate that he first went with paddle ass and then thought it was a little bit too full on for maybe a Channel 7 audience. Maybe something he'd run on Triple M instead. He went with paddle ass Rowbottom and then changed it to paddle bum Rowbottom and then thought, no, I've done this twice. This is now completely contextualized. I'm just going to go paddle bum. I'm not even going to say his name. Nobody knows who James Rowbottom is anyway. He's just paddle bum now.
Do you want to hear paddle ass one more time?
I do, yeah. Play it again.
No fumbles.
No fumbles.
All that on the Reams scoreboard has paddle ass Rowbottom.
paddle ass, row bottom.
Paddle
now,
ass.
I did a little bit of research into this, and it turns out that James Rowbottom is actually Brian Taylor's nephew.
Oh, so yeah, of course.
He's come
Best
with
his interest.
Right.
He's come with his pre-prepared, and I found an article on Sydney's website from around the time he got drafted, saying, you know, oh, he's BT's nephew, and he's going to be obviously a commentator's favourite.
Of course
he is. But this stood out for me. He joked in an AFL.com.au interview in October, he was dreading his uncle commentating on one of his games and giving him an embarrassing nickname. Each Christmas we do a WWE wrestling thing at our farm.
Oh, my God.
Said. Oh, I've heard about this.
One year I went as a schoolboy, so he started calling me Schoolboy Jimmy. That would be disastrous if that came up. Well, he hasn't copped Schoolboy Jimmy, but he does have paddle bump.
That's right.
So
BT's like, he does this properly. He commentates this with his family. It's like, I'm sure there's vision out there somewhere. Go watch it if you haven't already.
All right.
Yeah.
Watch this space.
It's amazing. He's copping paddle ass from his uncle.
Vested interest. He's maybe trying to build up his nephew's profile.
Well, it's working.
I'm happy with
it. Well, it's working. It's working for us because we now know who Rowbottom is.
Yeah.
Who's he playing for again?
BT
needs Sydney. Right. Okay. There we go. Yeah. Good.
BT needs like 10 more nephews in the AFL system and give them all a specifically weird nickname.
Yeah.
All right, you didn't think we could get through a podcast without discussing Matty Rao, did you? We were calling ourselves the Rowcast last week.
We've held up.
But, or Ben King, Nathan, because Ben King probably actually deserves a little bit of a mention as well.
Yeah. He was incredible, wasn't he?
While we're loving the Gold Coast, yeah.
He is a long, long boy, Ben King.
Long boy.
Yeah, he's got a lot of filling out to do, but he's long. Yeah.
He's not quite on the Tim English scale of like someone who's 6 foot tall stretched to 7 foot.
No.
You know, he's close. He's pretty close.
I think in a couple of years he will look that size, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But Nathan Buckley said that he loves the shirt tuck in from Matty Rao. Reckons there should be more of it.
He was a big shirt tucker innerer.
He was. Old school.
Yep. I'm a big fan of
it. Is real old school.
I liked it. The
Matthew Lloyd did it as well. Lotto. David Neitz was big on it.
Yeah, Nita. But the Guernseys these days, they're not that long and they're very, you know, they're skin tight around the body. Back, you know, 2002 areas, real Buckley areas. They're a bit more baggy. You don't want them to, you know, be flapping behind you when you're running along. So,
yeah, just obviously grab them, tackle them. Yeah.
Matty Rao. Yeah. And he's a big boy. We spoke about the Red Bull last week. It's a very tight Guernsey on him as well. He might nearly need to just go the extra size up because he might have been in the gym through COVID.
He's the biggest 18-year-old I've ever seen. It's incredible that he can be that size. I don't understand. How? But it got us to thinking that what else should we be bringing back from the old days of footy? We've got the shirt tuck in. Ethan, what did you have?
I'm going to continue on the jumper chat. And this is not something that isn't in the AFL at the moment. I want more long sleeves. I want more half sleeves. I want more long sleeves. They've been like, they're sort of gone by the wayside. You know, this like a lot of, you know, obviously, Marvel Stadium's come into the picture and there's been less, you know, games affected by rain and slop and there's no mud on the ground and everything, but they just look so good. And like even the skin tight versions now, like obviously hark back to the 70s and the 80s where you got your Michael Tucks and all that all running around and just these, you know, long sleeves at like at twice the size of what they should be.
Mm-hmm.
But like I'd love to see like, you know, your Rory Lobbs in the half sleeves, your Michael Hurley's in the half sleeves. Chad Wingard in the
Robbie
Hawthorne.
Robbie
Gray rocks it. Chad Wingard in a Hawthorne long sleeve jersey with the stripes down his arms would look phenomenal.
Can't show off his tattoos that way.
He could roll them up. Zach Tui
rolls them out for the Cats. Did you see Jack Stephen was wearing the long sleeves the other night on his Cats debut?
Was he?
You might not have noticed him.
Didn't get
a heap of the footy.
All right, so then, Etho, as a Melbourne fan, give me one Melbourne fan who you loved in the long sleeves. Could be current, could be in the past.
Adam Uzay.
Adam Uzay.
I used to have a number 13 D's jersey.
Did you?
And it was long-sleeved.
Who's 13? Yep. Clayton Oliver.
No, Adam Uzay.
Yeah,
Adam
but who's 13 now? You got
Clayton Oliver. It is Clayton Oliver.
Rudy, who's your Geelong?
Geordie McKenzie between them.
Oh, right. Who's your Geelong half sleever?
When I was a kid, I had a long sleeve Geelong jersey with the old AFL logo with the number 5 on the back for Gaz, but you can't think of a long sleeve Guernsey in the AFL, you know, Geelong player, that and not think of Jimmy Bartel.
Yeah,
it was correct. Jimmy. Yeah,
Yeah, imagine like a imagine like a Scott Pendlebury in the wet on Anzac Day with the striped Collingwood sleeves down his arms.
Well, funny you bring up Pendles. My Collingwood long sleever is a previous number 10.
Mm-hmm.
Rupert Betheris.
Rupert Betheris.
Loves a bit of long sleeve. Rudy's nearly choked on his water, I can
tell. Rupert Betheris?
Yeah.
What?
You can't have worn it that many times, did he?
Well, he probably didn't play that many games. But I don't know. I just seem to remember. I don't know. Rudy, what do you want to see? What's something retro that we could bring back?
I'd love to see, and I think I speak for all footy fans when I say this, the old Butcher's Coats goal umpires.
Yes.
Just not steaming up. Yeah. I love how the old days you'd see them and they look like they've got like the big mutton chops. They've got the moustache. Yeah. And then the way they just like sort of nonchalantly saunter up to the goal line and go bang. They stick the fingers out. They're not pointing, you know. Nowadays it's like a very rigid, robotic looking thing. Back then it was just like get the fingers out, bang, goal, whatever.
There's no reason why they can't wear them. No. I don't know why they changed it.
Maybe there's too much white in footy Guernseys these days. They wear that.
Coloured Butcher's coat. Who knows?
Even when
for goal umpire agility, geez, they can't get around the goalpost.
You can still move around. even when it was pissing down with rain during Port Frere on the weekend, it was pissing down. Yeah. It was full tropical storm. The goal umpires were just standing there in the short sleeves, just getting soaked.
Mm-hmm.
Put a giant coat on. It'll look awesome.
One thing I'd like to bring back a little bit retro 10 years ago as well would be Channel 10's 5-minute warning count up clock in the last quarter.
Yes.
Yeah. That built up a good bit of suspense for.
Absolutely.
I tell you what, it nearly killed me in the 2009 grand final.
I bet it did.
It absolutely nearly killed me. And we've also got one thing we brought up off air as well is the old Channel 7, the 1999. Scoreboard with like the robot thing.
The golden kind of arm robot flip around scoreboard style.
Yeah, yeah. It looked so futuristic in 1999, man.
Maybe we'll put it, maybe it could make its way into the tile this week. Have that in the tile.
It does look very retro.
Yeah. All right. What game are you looking forward to this week, boys?
What game am I looking forward to? I'm interested to see how Essendon bounce back from all this Conor McKenna stuff.
Yeah. Against Carlton, it would have been good.
Yeah, I'm producing that game. On Saturday night at the MCG. So I'll be there, I believe. And it'll be interesting to see how it looks with no fans and no Essendon players. It should be interesting. What about you guys?
I'm not picking the Sunday Arvo MCG game because I know it's going to happen there, Roots. That being Melbourne Geelong.
Zach Tui to kick a goal after the siren again.
Yeah, except to hand Geelong a 10-goal win instead of a 2-point win. I reckon Port Adelaide West Coast would be good because I think, like, one, it's a sort of test to see where Port are at against a team that's not going to finish in the bottom two this season, and one, how legit are West Coast this year?
Yeah, I'm really interested to see.
Because everyone,
West Coast need to respond. They must respond.
Everyone has banked on West Coast finishing top four or at worst top six. If they drop this and then they have Richmond, like they may go 1-4 returning to WA in a 17-game season. It's hard to make finals.
What are you going to win, another 11 games or something?
Yeah.
In your last 12 or whatever might be left.
It's very, very tough.
So, I want to see.
What about you, Ports?
I really just want to see the Gold Coast again.
Yeah,
yeah.
I agree.
Go for three in a row. Now, Frio currently on the ladder. I just had it here. Hang on. Sorry. Where are we?
Frio would be
17th, Frio.
Yeah.
They're not a 17th place team.
No, they've been hard to
I think they're better than 17th.
I don't reckon they're way better than 17th, though. I don't reckon they're top eight material, for example.
No,
but they're probably, they're like middle of the bottom.
It'll be interesting to see if, Frio have seen Gold Coast have two huge wins. Are they going to take the kids on now? So don't let Matt Rail run the show.
I said on Twitter on Sunday that the best thing that could happen to the Gold Coast, that game got moved into the free-to-air slot. And the best thing that could happen to the Gold Coast is Matt Rail on free-to-air because all of a sudden everyone can watch him and go, holy God, how good is this game?
I don't know, though, how Nat Fyfe is going to keep up with Matt Rail, to be honest.
Oh, really? You're calling Matt Rail better than Nat Fyfe?
Ethan Melvin. He's better than everyone. He's better than us three. He's better than the 800 AFL players that compete with him in the competition. He's just the best.
One of the best. Yeah. We'll be back. We'll be back next week to talk about all things Matty Rowell and maybe try and fit in some other footy stuff around the Red Bull. That's been the Triple M Footy Fan Podcast. I've been your host, Rudy Ebsel. I've been joined by George Porter and Ethan Meldrum.
Oh, thank you,
Rudy. We'll catch you next week.
See you next week.
See you, guys.